This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Grinds my gears.
A man!
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Now for something completely different.
It's time for a royal rant, presented by the Kings of Sport. And welcome to a very special edition of the Kings of Sport. It is a Royal Rant NFL kickoff edition of the program. I am the Godfather, Nate Milton, joined as always by my partner in crime, the Icky Woods to my Boomer Esiason, and Marcus Vandenberg. What's going on, brother Marcus?
What's up, Nate? How you doing?
Woo! We gonna get cold cuts today, baby!
All right. It's more entertaining than a football game.
Yes, yes. We are gonna talk a lot about the NFL. We're gonna recap the game that we just finished watching between the Seahawks and the Packers. We're going to talk about the NFL Week 1 schedule, and we're also going to have a spirited conversation about the recently deceased Joan Rivers. But I got to say, man, before we get into this, can we talk Michael Sam? Because I am so happy. I think the only person happier that Michael Sam was signed to the Cowboys practice squad besides Michael Sam, his boyfriend, and his family is me, because hopefully this means we don't have to talk about this dude again until he actually contributes to an NFL team.
Yeah, so if you listen to our latest episode, we discussed Michael Sam, and of course we somehow, maybe we jinxed it. I don't know if we helped him get him signed or what, but we had this whole discussion about Michael Sam and him getting signed by a team, and then voila, the Dallas Cowboys signed him to the practice squad. So now he's situated, he's got a job, he has a good chance of making the roster, because that Dallas defense is expected to be awful at the end of the season. So there's a chance at some point this season he will make his debut in the NFL. But in the meantime, he's got a job, and you know, hopefully for him, and I'm sure he doesn't want to be in the middle of this because he's done a good job since getting rid of that documentary or the series he was doing of Oprah, of sort of laying low. So I'm sure he's just as happy to sort of be done with this and moving on. And unfortunately, this means no Michael Sam on Raw Monday night.
Yes, they'll have to make do with Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
And that tells you right there, like, they didn't get Michael Sam, so who do they get to go against the NFL? Jerry Springer. So that tells me all it was some publicity stuff.
Side note, since I'm sure they're not listening to this podcast, so the WWE reached out to me and was like, Jerry Springer's doing interviews. And I was like, oh, okay. I haven't responded yet, but I'm going to pass on interviewing Jerry Springer for Yahoo Sports.
If you can't get him for Yahoo, can you just say it's Yahoo and get him for us?
No, but I have to produce something for the website, so that would require me to do some work.
I mean, Jerry Springer, one of the great hustle men of our time.
And like this, former mayor.
Yeah, former mayor, former, wasn't he a newsman?
Yeah.
Back in the day, and he has built this empire of reality crash trash TV that he was kind of on that first wave of, and you know, like, you talk about building something out of nothing, like, whether you like the show or not, whether you think it's real or not, you got to give props to Jerry, because he did the American dream. He took a niche market that nobody was in, and he said, you know what? I can make some money off of this.
And, I mean, if you look at him, he really hasn't aged much. I mean, he still looks the same as when you know, that show was in its heyday.
When you deal in nuclear waste all the time, I think that preserves your youth.
He's been around all those black people. That's why. It's rubbing off on him.
He's like, black don't crack, even if you're not black. If you hang around enough of them.
Yeah, it rubs off.
So, yeah, shout out to Michael Sam for this. I think it's a good fit in the sense that Dallas is a team with a defense that's getting older, so they could use youth. I think Dallas is a market where any other city, Michael Sam is probably either your top story or the second story. In Dallas, he's not even the third or fourth story. Behind Romo, Garrett, Jerry Jones, whatever drama's going on there. I think Michael Sam can kind of go under the radar, do his work, and if he's good enough, make the big squad.
Yeah, you would hope so. But you never know if that. Could you imagine if they had Michael Sam and Manziel on the same team?
Oh, that would be like I don't know who's working out there. Tim Kalishaw, maybe, like that would be his dream.
Yeah, and Jerry Jones' dream as well.
Before we get into the game tonight, like, did you see that? I don't know if it was a Sunday conversation or something on ESPN with Jerry Jones talking about his legacy.
No, I missed it.
And you can tell, like, he still has an axe to grind with Jimmy Johnson, because he was all sunshine and lollipops until the guy was like, would Jimmy Johnson ever get inducted into the Cowboys Ring of Honor? And he was just like, well, it's not something we look at this time.
Oh,
like you can tell Jerry Jones has a deep-seated hate for this dude, because it's like Jerry Jones, I think more than anything else, he got money, he got fame. As we saw from those pictures and the conversations that came out, he's got women, but he wants to be respected as a football mind, and that's something that has eluded him to this point.
It's because he's too busy trying to play the role of general manager, and he's not a GM. Just own the team. Delegate to people who actually know the sport, and you just worry about making sure payroll clears every Friday.
Yeah, I mean, if let's say he was able to work things out with Jimmy Johnson back in the day, not only would they have won that Super Bowl that Barry Switzer won, but they probably would have won at least one more.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? They're like, you might not get respected as the general manager or the X's and O's guy, but they're Hall of Fame owners too, Jerry. And you would have definitely been – I mean, he still will be a Hall of Fame owner. But, this need for him to get the credit, I think, has come to the detriment of this Dallas Cowboys team.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about a team that hasn't made the playoffs in – geez, it's been how long now? It's been – I want to say at least, 10 years? Does that sound right?
I think they got one playoff win.
One playoff win. That's the stat I'm thinking about, yes.
One playoff win in the last decade.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous for America's team.
Yeah, but you're talking about a team that's gone 8-8 the last three seasons now. They haven't made the playoffs in four seasons. And a playoff win came in 2009 against the Eagles. Before that, their last playoff win was 1996. So one playoff win in 16 years or so. So that's not good.
No, it's not a good look at all. Come on, Jerry. I mean, I know you got this ego, but sometimes you got to let it go, man. You know, you spent all this money to fix your face. Why don't you fix your team? speaking of teams and actual NFL action, did you know that there was a game tonight? I mean, it came after a Pharrell concert, so I don't know if you stayed up to watch the actual game, but there was a game after that Pharrell concert.
Yeah. I don't think Green Bay knew there was a game tonight, but there was a game.
Oh, yeah. Minutes ago, the Seahawks in the NFL opener, hashtag NFL kickoff, defeated the Packers 36-16 in a game that was pretty boring, to paraphrase Larry David.
Yeah, it was close up until halftime, and then the second half, Seattle took over. The defense was just too much for Green Bay. And I think we both agree the highlight of this game was the Geico commercial featuring Itchy Woods.
We getting cold meats, baby! Cold cuts tonight. Yes, like that. I like the first time it came on, I was just like, "Whoa!" Like it, like I mean, that hit my sweet spot. Like as a kid, that is, for all intents and purposes, I'm an '80s baby. You know, that's what I grew up. That's where if you hit me with an '80s reference, it's gonna resonate in my sweet spot. And Icky Woods and the Icky Shuffle, like you forget that this guy was pretty much a one-year wonder. Like, he had that one great year for Cincinnati and got hurt and was never the same again. But if you're, you know, anywhere from 30 and up, you remember this guy with such fond memories. And it's like, oh, man, when he's like, I'm number 44. And he started doing the shuffle. Cole Meets tonight, baby. I'm like, this is – Icky Woods is probably the winner tonight. Not Richard Sherman, not Marshawn Lynch, not Russell Wilson. Icky Woods was the big winner of tonight's game.
Actually, Richard Sherman is the real winner for tonight because he had an easy night at work. Zero passes thrown his way. So he's the real winner. He's the real MVP.
There was a loser tonight besides the Packers, and I will get this off my chest right now because this is a royal rant. I mean, we're not really ranting tonight, but I figure I spent 45 minutes.
Don't worry.
Yeah, we will get to that. But I spent 45 minutes making the intro and outro, so we're going to get some use out of this. So my rant is about one Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas, man, you had one job, Earl. Catch the ball on the punt return. Uh-oh. Call for a fair catch. And because you decided to be a hero and fumbled the ball, I'm now sitting at minus 2 points in my fantasy football league, man.
You had Earl Thomas in your team, huh?
I picked him up for defense with maybe some special teams as a bonus on the side, and I got burned.
Yeah. Well, no, it's showing you have he got you 2 points total.
Oh, he ended up redeeming himself?
2.65 points, yep.
Okay, because I know when I checked, it was like around halftime, and it was like negative 2 points because of that fumble.
No, he got you back to the positive. Okay, so you got 6 points total.
Okay, we'll leave Earl on the squad for this week. But, yeah, that I was like, you had one job, man. Come on, man. Like, I'm not an athlete. I used to be in a former life. And I played special teams on my high school team and on my college team for a little bit. And I know if you got three dudes within 5 yards of you, call for the fair catch, man. Don't be a hero, Earl.
By the way, speaking of fantasy football, the franchise is on his way to a victory because he's facing probably the worst team in the league who's given zero fucks about his fantasy team right about now.
Who's that team?
Too short yardage.
Oh, you know who that is, don't you?
Who's that?
That is our friend Bill Winters.
Bill,
back Thursday.
Come on, Bill. Bill's not even trying. Bill's starting Danny Amendola.
Oof.
But he's at Crabtree on the bench because he's listed as questionable. But he's on a play. It's for week one.
Who's Bill's quarterback?
RG3.
Maybe Tom Brady would help you out, Bill.
And then he's at Tim Wright as a starting tight end.
Oh,
so,
Bill.
Yeah.
Bill, come on, man. game recognized game, and right now, Bill, your team is looking real unfamiliar.
And he's missing a defensive back in his starting lineup, so he's at an empty spot. So, disrespectful, Bill. We got one mission in this league, to beat the franchise, and you're not helping. You're not helping at all. But what happens to the bet? Is that happening?
I have not heard back from Jamie or Bill. Maybe they said something on their show that came out today, and I haven't had a chance to listen to their show yet. But I will get back to you because I think it's a pretty cool bet.
And if the bet is on, then this is great for us because this is going to be a loss for sure.
And I think both you and I should. Both you and I are predicted to win. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill, come on, man! Like. I know, like, I like RG3, you know, shout out to Black Jesus, but, you know, maybe you need somebody a little more dependable, stable, somebody who's a gym rat, somebody who hustles, who's got a high motor. Maybe you need that type of quarterback running your system. Holla at your boy. I don't know if this is a real league, this would be considered collusion.
Yeah. By the way, Jamie's on a good start. And I get him in back-to-back weeks, so he's at Percy Harvin and Marshawn Lynch, so he's doing fine.
Shout out to Percy Harvin, who had a good game tonight, a 757 product. But, yeah, man, people forget, like, how good this guy was. And, you know, you can see it in flashes. Like, he's not a traditional receiver, but he's that type of guy that if you can get him the ball in space, Percy Harvin can make you look stupid, as we saw with a couple of the players on the Packers tonight.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first we've seen really Percy healthy in a regular season for over a year now. And Seattle did a good job of using him in the offense, not only in the passing game, but in the run game as well. I still worry about him returning kicks because it's just more opportunities for him to get injured. So hopefully they can scale back on that. But I think the offense is going to be built around Marshawn Lynch and Percy Harvin. And we saw a good dose of that tonight against Green Bay.
Well, he can't be any worse returning kicks than Earl Thomas.
No, that's true. Maybe that's why he has to return kicks, because Earl can't signal field fair catch.
It's like you know, we rarely curse on this show. You know, we do in when it comes to us naturally. But, you know, I had to bite my tongue about Earl freaking Thomas. But I guess the last thing I'd have to say about this game before we get into a preview of the week ahead, Marcus, is Aaron Rodgers, man. Aaron Rodgers, I think it's a byproduct more so of the Seahawks defense to that Legion of Boom than Aaron Rodgers' actual ability, but they made him look kind of silly tonight.
Yeah, I mean, they tend to make a lot of quarterbacks look silly. I'm going to chalk that up to just being, you know, facing Seattle at Seattle and not so much against what Rodgers would do this year. And unfortunately, they lost Eddie Lacy, who was did suffer a concussion, according to Green Bay. So week two, he will be probably questionable now, but he's got 10 days to rest between now and next Sunday. So if they lose Lacy for even one game, that's going to be a big blow to that offense.
Yeah, and shout out to Clinton. Ha-ha Clinton Dix, who, man, I feel sorry for this dude, because if he makes great plays, it's a wonderful thing. He's ha-ha Clinton Dix. But if he looks like he looked tonight, it's ha-ha Clinton Dix.
Yeah.
Good luck, rookie. But let's take a look at week one in the NFL coming up this Sunday. We've got some pretty big games to start out the season. Probably the game I'm most interested in is the Sunday night game on NBC. Manning faces the Colts. And last time that happened, they had the big ceremony for Peyton. And I think they suckered him into a false security. And then they came out and ended up beating the Denver Broncos. But you got the Colts going into Denver now. And Denver should win, but they are missing probably one of their biggest weapons on offense, and that is Wes Welker, who popped a molly, and now he's sweating. Woo!
Yeah, Wes Welker suspended for 4 games for violating the drug policy. So he's sidelined. He was coming off a concussion, so it's probably for the best that he's not playing right away. He's got 4 weeks to get healthy.
And I've never done molly, but I'm pretty sure concussions and molly is not a good combination.
No, I mean, if this was like marijuana, I think people would sort of side for Wes Welker. But, you know, when you get popped for molly and then you're talking about, well, what if my drink was spiked? You know, people are going to be hard to really side of you. So
he's like, but wait a minute. Jay-Z said MDMA got you feeling like a champion. I was just trying to be a champion, guys.
Yeah, they didn't play their champion last February, so maybe the molly was doing to help soothe things. But he's out 4 games. Matt Prater out 4 games. Their kicker. So they got 2 suspensions to work with. But they should still beat Indianapolis at home. Their defense really got improved over the offseason after getting embarrassed in the Super Bowl last year. So that should be an improvement. And, you know, when you have someone like Peyton Manning, you really could just, you know, you could toss me out there and I could probably catch 4 passes. So they should be fine on offense. And I guess the game I'm looking forward to the most, I just 49ers Cowboys. I am curious to see how bad the Cowboys defense will be and how healthy Tony Romo actually is after a bad surgery this offseason. So, it could get utterly quit for Dallas, because you know, dealing with someone like Kaepernick, where you only have to, you know, you have to protect for not only the pass, but for his legs as well. And we saw what he did last year in week 1 against Green Bay, running all over the Packers. So, It could be a long day for Dallas, but you know, I'm just happy football is back. There's not really a lot of, you know, quote unquote terrible games on the schedule. Week two is a little more crappy when it comes to games, but a lot of these games, I mean, maybe Vikings Rams is the one game where you're sort of like, okay, whatever, but there's a lot of intriguing games this week.
Yeah, so we're not going to go through all the games, but let's take a handful of games and just kind of give our quick predictions. Colts Broncos, like we talked about, I'm going with Denver. Is that the same for you, Marcus?
Yeah, Denver.
Okay, let's go to the most boring team in the history of Hard Knocks. My beloved Atlanta Falcons hosting the Saints. As much as I would love to see a opening day victory for Atlanta, I'm going to go with the Saints in this one.
Actually, before I make this pick, maybe we should start picking like five games against the spread and just keeping track for the season.
Oh, that escalated quickly. Yeah. I like that. I like that.
So let's go back to the Colts Broncos.
Okay.
Denver minus -8 on that game.
Ooh.
Let me open up my email so I can keep track of this stuff.
I'll leave it up to you to keep track of our picks because you're 3 hours behind, so you should be more alert than I am.
All right, so I'm taking Broncos in the points, so minus -8.
Me too.
All right. So you said, what was the next game? Falcons and...
Falcons and Saints.
Let's see. That one is...
I'd assume the Falcons are a home dog.
Saints minus -3.
Really?
Yeah.
In that case, I'm going Falcons.
Give me the Saints.
All right, let's go to Johnny Manziel and maybe his debut, as the Browns are rumored to have some packages for him. Let's go Brown Steelers. What's the line on that?
Brown Steelers, Pittsburgh minus -7.
I'm still going Steelers.
Same.
All right, let's go with the Vander Bowl, if you will, with the Raiders and the Jets.
Yeah. Jets minus -5.5.
Ooh, you know what? I'm going with Oakland.
I would normally go up Oakland as the road dog, but I don't trust rookie quarterback week one. Not against the Jets front four, so I'm going Jets at home.
All right, so how many games was that? Was that four?
That was four.
Okay, and let's see. One more. Let's go with the late game on Monday with the Cardinals hosting the Chargers.
Arizona minus -3.
I'll go with the San Diego Superchargers.
Arizona's had a tough defense, boy. But I'll go Cardinals at home.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, have you kept track of all of our picks?
Yep, I got them all down.
Okay, Marcus has the picks down, and we will update the picks next week on the program in the newly christened Second Down segment. So I ended up throwing you a bone, Marcus.
There you go.
Just because I couldn't think of a better name.
See? Not as easy as you think it is.
You know what? We'll go with Second Down. So yeah, we'll each week we'll have that contest up, and maybe starting next week we'll put the picks up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/KingsofSport, and allow the listeners to join in.
That's
on the fun. Yeah, we come up with all sorts of great ideas today. So yeah, that's NFL opening night, NFL kickoff opening night. Like I said, I. the game was, it was fun to have football back, and it was like cool to have people like just tweeting and the interactivity of the whole thing. But by halftime, I was kind of done with it.
Yeah, it was. Hopefully, Sunday's action is better. Let's put it like that.
Yeah, like on the one hand, it's cool that, you know, you had this one spotlight game, but the beauty of Sunday is that you've got at least two or three games you
got can options. Switch. Yeah.
Yes. We had no options tonight.
My option tonight was tennis.
Are you was Monfils playing?
Yeah, he choked. He was up 2-0 and choked, lost the last three to Federer.
Monfils stay choking, man.
Yeah, it was an epic. He was up double match point and couldn't close out, and then Federer just stormed back, so
like I gave up on, I gave up on black tennis because I still rep for the Williams sisters, but I gave up on black men's tennis when what was the dude that
James
came in
Blake.
Second? Oh, James, yeah, James Blake, but there was a black dude that came in second back in the day at Wimbledon.
Washington.
Yeah. And I was like riding for that dude. Like, I thought he was going to be the next Jim Courier, Arthur Ashe, John McEnroe. And he didn't do anything. So I was like, you know what? I will no longer judge these tennis players by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
Yeah, I used to play tennis casually in high school, and I used to follow it a lot more back then. But yeah, black male tennis players. I was on the James Blake. I was on the bandwagon, and just couldn't do it. He just couldn't get over the hump. And now we're seeing that with not even Monfils, but who's the other one? Donald Young, another guy who's sort of been not even at Monfils level. Donald Young's been sort of at that level where I didn't realize he was up to, he was 25 now. I remember when he first hit the scene, and I figured, okay, this was going to be the guy, because Blake was never that dude, and he's been around for 7 years now, and he has never made it further than, let's see here. Yikes, the second round of a major, looks like. third round.
I hadn't even heard of this dude. Like,
Donald Young?
No, now I'm looking him up, and
fourth round in the U.S. Open 2011 is the furthest he's made it, it looks like.
He kind of reminds me of a more athletic cockroach from The Cosby Show.
Wow.
Like, what was that dude, Carl Anthony Payne?
Yeah.
Used to be Cole on Martin. like I used to be, that's how the state of black male tennis has deteriorated, which is a funny thing in and of itself to say. Like, James Blake and Maya Washington, like, them dudes I used to follow religiously. And it's like, I didn't know Donald Young was even a thing, but I guess he's not that big of a thing.
Yeah, he's you know, never been that great, but you always, you know, especially the first day of a tournament, you always look for the black faces, and you're like, oh, okay. And then after day one,
whatever happened to homegirl? Is she still around? Dr. J's daughter or stepdaughter? Or whatever.
Alexandra
Stevenson. Yeah, is she still around?
I don't think so. Let's see. Wow, no, she's 33. She's got to be done. if you haven't heard the story about how she was conceived, you should probably Google. Let's see if I can find it. Google Dr. J in braces, and you will get the infamous Dr. J story of how Alexandra was conceived. Do you know the story?
I do not know the story, Mark.
Oh, even better.
I will have to look this up.
So I'll just tell you now.
Okay,
it's a great story.
Okay.
So Dr. J had this book I believe it was 2013. And so this is from the book. She's talking about the woman, the mother of this child, Samantha Stevenson. So she becomes someone who helps me unwind if I'm feeling high strung or stressed. I can drive over and spend a relaxing evening that might even include oral sex, Irving writes. I can only remember one time that we actually had intercourse, and that was because she had just gotten this new orthodontist to straighten her teeth with wire and gleaming metal bristling in her mouth. Oral sex was not an option. So because this woman couldn't pleasure Dr. J with her mouth, she got pregnant and had a daughter.
Oh.
So let this be a lesson, kids, that just one time you can slip up and have a kid.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, I'm looking at her Wikipedia. Apparently she's still active, but she's not a big deal anymore. She's only 33 though. And apparently she ain't got no kids or a man, so Next time you see her, Marcus, she's out there. How's your boy?
You would be starved for life too if you realize you were conceived because your mother decided not to suck off your jump off that one night, and then boom, I'm born. Hey, come on, she's had daddy issues, father. I'm sure she's had a bunch of issues dealing with.
See, all that is knowledge, man. You got to know your enemy. You got to know your target.
I just hope that he at least shared the story of her before the book came out, because that's got to be tough if you read about that story without any heads up.
I'd just be like, look here, girl, the only braces we need is our love. Boom. Game, set, and match.
Yeah.
Advantage, Nate. And this is probably why I'm single. Oh, and this is also why this is proof that tonight's game wasn't that exciting, because we just spent like the last 10 minutes talking about tennis and black people in tennis more specifically.
Yeah, that's real niche.
So I think we're done with football for this week, Marcus, but I am interested in discussing a topic that we talked about right minutes before we got on tonight on Skype. And you expressed some strong feelings, and that made me want to talk about this even more. So for those that do not know out there, comedian Joan Rivers passed away. I believe she was 81, following surgical complications. And, you know, it's a big, like, this has been a bad summer for comedy. First Robin Williams and now Joan Rivers. And as a fan of comedy, as a student of the game, somebody that at one time wanted to be a stand-up comic, I got respect for Joan Rivers. But from what you're saying, Marcus, you don't quite feel the same way.
Listen, here's my whole thing, and this is going to be the rant for this podcast. rest in peace, Joan. I'm sure she was great in her heyday. I know she was a real pioneer for female comedians, but let's not pretend she was god awful at what she was doing the last 10 years or so on the red carpet stuff. That was not entertaining television. She was not good at her job. She was not funny. And, you know, if you were on Twitter today, you would have thought that, you know, the fucking Pope died. And I'm just like, I don't get it. I've noticed, it's not just Joan Rivers. It's any time a celebrity dies, it's like this whole Twitter, Facebook, like, listen, you didn't know these people. I understand you might have been impacted by these people, but at the end of the day, you've never met these people, like, most likely. They're not related to you. But you think they would, this is like a family member who passed away, and I just don't get how people sort of, not embrace death, but sort of, what's the word? I guess there's like, they just get wrapped up into this whole celebrity culture where they feel like they are somehow attached or somehow related to this person, when in reality, they don't know who you are. They don't care about you. So, you know, I'm not happy she died. Don't get me wrong. It's a sad story. But at the same time, I'm not going to tweet out, oh, a great legend has died. No. She was terrible at that East show. And I'm smart enough not to say this on Twitter because I don't want to deal with people coming after me sideways. But when you mentioned Joan Rivers, I had to say something because she was awful in that show. I mean, just like turn the channel heat awful whenever she was on the red carpet.
Well, let me refute what you're saying, Marcus. I understand your opinions, but it's one thing to be terrible at your job and be an imitator. But if you're the first person and you make a cottage industry out of this mindless red carpet stuff, which she did, like, I give you respect for that. I don't like what she did. I was never, like, I wasn't watching the E! Emmys or Oscars or Grammys pre-shows to check out her and Melissa, which is another story I'll get into in a second. But she created something that everybody jumped on. So in that respect, it's like, you know what? I ain't got no problem with you making your money. You created something much like Jerry Springer that did not exist before you really came into the game, and you made your paper.
Fair point. But just to bring it back to sports and or actually wrestling, this was sort of like when Warrior died. When Warrior passed away, Warrior was the greatest human being ever. We all knew Warrior was a piece of shit. We all suddenly forgot all the horrible things that he said in the past because, yes, it was a tragic death, and yes, you know, he was coming off this great weekend of nostalgia where people were happy to see him back in WWE and all that stuff, but, you know, let's call a spade, let's be fair here. There are a lot of awful, awful things that the Warrior did and said, but, you know, if you were that person who was to go against the grain and say something like that, you would have been attacked, so that's all I'm saying is, you know, let's just be fair. When it comes to when people die, you know, I would hope people are fair with me when I pass and they point out the good and bad and not just the good. That's all I'm asking for.
Tell them why you mad, son.
You got to get a rant. This is titled The Royal Rant. So there you go.
Well, if you mention that, hopefully that doesn't happen for a long time. But let's say I outlive you, which is probably not going to happen. But if that occurrence does happen, I can't wait for the Alfred Cunningham eulogy. But getting back to Joan Rivers, like, you've seen The Usual Suspects, haven't you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, one of the big quotes from that movie was, "The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist." Mm-hmm. The greatest trick Joan Rivers ever pulled was giving Melissa Rivers a career. This chick been eating good for like 15 years with no discernible talent.
Yeah. She, I don't know if she's as bad as Joan Rivers, her mom, but she's also not good when it comes to the red carpet stuff.
I'd say she's worse because at least Joan had qualifications. She might not have been good at a job, but at least she was qualified for it. What did Melissa ever do to say, yeah, let's give her a microphone and put her on TV?
And she at least Joan tried to crack jokes. Melissa didn't even do that. So...
Oh, like one of my favorite Joan Rivers memories, and you know, I respected the comedy, especially, you know, she came up in an era where female comedians were kind of second-class citizens, but one of my favorite Joan Rivers memories was, I guess 5 years ago or so now, when she was on The Celebrity Apprentice, and I don't know if you ever saw the clip where her and Melissa got kicked off.
Yeah.
Yo, they went ham. Like, it was like, you kicking moms off, you kicking both of us off. Which is probably, you know, a true thing in that household, because if Joan goes, Melissa don't have a real concrete fallback plan. So both of them went ham on Donald Trump and the selection process, and they was calling it, I don't even remember who the chick was that voted them off, but they was calling it all sorts of snakes and pit vipers and scandalous skeezers and hoes and skip scap scallywops. And that was like, if you want to see some entertaining quote-unquote reality TV, look up that clip of Joan Rivers and Melissa Rivers getting kicked off Celebrity Apprentice.
And there you go. That's my favorite memory. She was actually entertaining on Celebrity Apprentice. So there you go. That said something positive.
Like, I got friends from all spectrums and all walks of life, but it's funny because, like, a lot of my more left-leaning friends are like, oh, it's a shame she died, but we didn't respect her humor. And it's like, yeah, she was an insult comic to a certain extent, but she was an equal offender. Like, she got at white people, men, women, straight, gays, blacks, Jews, whoever.
She's very much like Lisa Lampanelli.
Yeah.
Her style.
Like Lisa, right. And, you know, the thing, like, I thought that, like, there were some clips that a lot of people have been posting today where, like, there's a Holocaust joke she has where if you just hear it at first glance, you're like, whoa. But then a couple minutes later, you're like, you know what? I'm not really cool at laughing at Holocaust jokes, but that's a good one. It's like, you know what? Like, yeah, the stuff she may have saying was kind of crossing the line and being offensive. But as a comedian, she was a damn good joke writer.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be an equal opportunity offensive when it comes to comedy. You can't just single out one group because that's when you have, you know, troubles. Could you imagine a comedian who just made jokes about black people? Like, how would that go over? Not too well.
I'm sure we had some back in the day.
Yeah.
These niggas over here.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, so I'm glad you got that off your chest, Marcus. Yeah, like you, I get sick of kind of the celebrity worship where it's like everybody going crazy over these people that they really did not know except for the TV screen or the movie screen. But, you know,
and not only that, but someone like Joan Rivers, who, when's the last time prior to last week that someone has even mentioned Joan Rivers' name? Like, she,
right.
It'd be different if, even, I mean, same thing with Robin Williams. Robin Williams was sort of like, you know, not in the foreground. He was sort of in the background. You know, if it's someone like, you know, I don't want to name anyone for bad karma or luck, but if it was someone who was actively in movies or in your TV or, you know, but both these people.
Like when Paul Walker, to use a recent example.
Yes.
When Paul Walker died, it's like, yeah, because this dude just came off of one of the biggest movies of his life.
Yeah. You know, at least someone who's actually current. But you know, I haven't thought about Joan Rivers in years prior to last week, and all of a sudden it's, you know, it's like the president died. And like, and to the point where NBC actually broke in it, NBC breaking news during this afternoon across the national networks to announce the death. And I'm like, I remember the days when like the NBC breaking news alert was saved for like the major like events,
right,
like war starting or earthquake or something along those lines, not for a celebrity death. and not for a death that, I'm sorry to say, we all sort of saw coming because of the way the story played out. We knew that she was probably on her last, you know, on her deathbed, just the way they put her on life support. So it wasn't like a tragic death. It wasn't like she dropped dead all of a sudden today. We sort of saw this coming. So I'm done ranting.
Yeah, when you're 81 and you go on life support, it's usually a bad sign.
Yeah, so I just really thought, you know, really, we're doing this on a Thursday afternoon, but all right.
Yeah, so thanks for the memories, Joan, and roast in peace. See what I did there? little comedy thing. Oh, but yeah, I think, you got anything else, Marcus? Because I think we're done tonight.
Yeah, I'm done drawing heat. I'm sure that'll tweet or two from someone.
Yo, Melissa Rivers is gonna come after you, son.
Nah,
I'm gonna be watching TV tomorrow on breaking news on NBC Sports. Melissa Rivers commits a drive by on light skinned Yahoo editor. So yeah, you know, I think that's it. Let the people know, Marcus, where they can hit you up and comments on your thoughts about Joan Rivers, your thoughts on the NFL, or anything else they want to talk to you about.
You can talk to me about Joan Rivers at Nate Mosaic.
Whoa.
Marco Will, MarcoWill. And I do not use the block button, so don't get smart.
You can check me out at N8 MOZAIK, Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Check us both out at Cospod, KOS_POD on Twitter. And we've got some pretty big time followers now. Sherrod Small from Best Week Ever on VH1 and Race Wars, a great podcast. He's following us now. So if he's doing it, why shouldn't you?
I'm sure I offended him because he's a fellow comedian. So I'm sure they've all sticking together about this, so.
Yeah, I was trying to get him on the show, and I was going to be like, not as long as that light-skinned Joan Rivers hating niggas on the show.
Yeah.
Which is probably exactly how he would describe you. But, yeah, if you're still listening to the show after tonight, KOS_POD on Twitter, Facebook.com/TheKingsOfSport. Check us out on iTunes. Check us out on Stitcher. Go vote for us for September Podcast of the Month at PodcastLand.com. And support Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com powers the King of Sports, so go and check them out. Place to Be Nation, your one-stop spot for the latest and greatest in sports and entertainment. So I think we're done here, Marcus.
Yep, we're done. Back next week.
Back next week. Thanks for checking out the special bonus edition of the Kings of Sport, a royal rant, if you will. And we'll be back next week with more talk about issues and topics on and off the field on the world's most dangerous sports show. So, for Marcus Vanderberg, I am the godfather, Nate Milton. We gonna get some cold cuts, baby! Woo! And you've been down with the Kings. Well, that's it for this edition of the Royal Rant. Agree with our take? Think we're off base? Or maybe you've got something completely different that you need to vent about? Well, tell us why you're mad on Facebook, facebook.com/TheKingsOfSport, or on Twitter, Cospod on Twitter. That's KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Time is really wasted. Up all around.